Welcome to the Highway Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you today.
Hallelujah. Nothing like the presence of God, is there? Oh, Pentecost. You know, it's so exciting when you see those young people up on the screen there tonight. We never want to underestimate the power of God touching a young person's life. Do you know that if there's a very slim chance of you ever becoming a Christian unless you went to church or Sunday school when you were young? It's like 80% of the people that come to the Lord later on in their life went to church or Sunday school when they were younger. And so the power, see, at that camp, the things that were sown in their life will stay the rest of their life. See, you know what brought the prodigal son back to the father? Is he had a good memory of what home was like. And so at these camps, when God is touching their life, it's going to put a memory in their heart and their mind. And it may be 20, 30, 40 years later, and that seed that was sown when they're young will all of a sudden begin to sprout. And God will reap a harvest and bring the prodigals back. Wonderful Father, we just thank you for tonight. We just thank you for your presence. We just thank you that, God, you are in the house. You are touching people already. People are already being blessed. And we just want to give you the thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. My name's Pastor Stephen Jobe. And it's a privilege to preach here tonight. I wasn't actually supposed to be preaching here tonight. And on Thursday night, there I was, sitting in my lounge chair watching the Broncos play. That wasn't very good. How many people go for the Broncos? Right, well, that's how many Christians we've got in the church. The rest of you, I expect you at the altar call at the end. But there I was, sitting in my chair, and then Pastor Caleb sends me a text. Says, look, can you preach on Sunday night? And I text back, yeah, that'd be fine. And then I text him back and I said, well, only if the Broncos win, I will do it. Then about a minute later, I get this image from Pastor Caleb. And here he is, a picture of him sitting in the crowd watching the Broncos play. So, but here we are tonight. At the end of this service, I'm going to do an altar call. And the Bible, you know, many of the prophets and those that preached said, repent, which means turn around and turn to God. And at the end of this service, if you're in this meeting and you've been away from God or you've never given your life to God, the call of God to you tonight is turn to Him. And we will give an opportunity at the end of this sermon. And how we do that is we ask people, if you want to turn to God tonight, we ask you to raise your hand. And then we ask people to come out the front, those that have raised their hand, to come out the front. And then we will pray with them and believe God with them. And then after we pray with them, you go out to a room at the back and Pastor Kim will beat you up. No, she will give you a Bible and get you on your journey. Amen? Okay, I've titled this message tonight, Oh, to Know Him. You know, God is a big God. And He wants us to know Him. There are some religions that believe that God is up there and we are down here, and that God is not interested in our day-to-day life. We are separated. He's there, we're here, and the never two will meet. We don't believe that tonight, do we? We believe that God is interested in us. And that's why Jesus said, when he said how to pray, he says, pray in this manner, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is our Father. You know, my father is gone and he's in heaven now, but I've got a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father watching over you right now. And so, why do we need to know this about God? Why do we need to know God? That's the question we're going to touch here. The first thing here is rewards. To know God. To know God. Wow. Isn't that amazing that we can know God? The Psalms 34:8 says this, oh, taste and see. So where we're heading is, how do we know this God? Well, the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, I could have an apple up here, and I could tell you how great this apple is. I could talk to you all day about this apple. But you'll never know what that apple would be like until you've tasted it. And people say, well, how do I know God's real? Well, what do I do? And I just say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is good. And blessed is the man who trusts in him. So these are the benefits for knowing God. In Daniel 11:32, the second part of that says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I was young once, and I used to be so insecure in so many areas. But the more that I know God, the more that I experience God, the stronger I get. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, sometimes when you're young, you think, oh, well, why do I have to serve God? Let me say this to all the young people. The Bible says, remember thy God in the days of thy youth. Young people, get hold of God as much as you can at this young age. You might say, well, why? Why? I want to have a good time. I want to get out and party. I want to do all these things. No, get to know God. Get to love God because it's going to carry you through the rest of your life. See, on the farm, we had this farm and, we all know with a tree, you plant a tree in the ground and the bigger it gets, it's harder to direct where that tree's going to go. And so if you say, oh, later on in life, I'm going to serve God, later on I'll get excited about God, the problem is it's so much harder to do it when you've grown and your nature and your character has been developed for so long. But get and know God while you're just that young little tree where God can bend you and he can mold you and he can direct you in the way that you should go. There was a time in my life when I was young, I used to have all these mates. And I was in a meeting one day and God just touched my life. And I thought, I'm going home. It was actually in New Zealand. And I said, I'm going home and I'm going to serve God. And my mates said to me, when I kind of just said goodbye to them all, and I just started to serve God, and they came to me and said, Steve, you can't go. You're the leader of the gang. You're the leader. But I tell you what, here I am decades later and the greatest thing I ever did is decided that I'm going to serve God, know God, and give my life to God. I'm an old codger now. And when you get old, you start to realize that it's not long when I'll be gone. And it's that those last moments when I'm just about ready to go to glory, I won't be thinking, oh, did I get a big, I wished I had better cars. I wished I had better houses. I wished I had all these things. No. I'll tell you what I'll be saying. I just thank God I served Him. I thank God that I got hold of Him in the days of my youth. And it's like I said here last time I was preaching, what God is going to do through the young people of this generation is going to blow our mind. I was in the meeting here one day and I just saw the walls. Don't get scared about the beginning of this. I saw the walls fall down around this church. The walls that have been protecting the young people, the walls that have been protecting people, and I saw the walls fall down. The walls fell down not to let the enemy in, but it was to let this young generation get out there and turn the world upside down. I tell you what God is going to do through you young people. You want to be excited. You want to get to know God. For things are going to happen. And so, but to the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. They're the benefits, is to be strong in God. And He deals with our insecurities and our weaknesses. And now when we get strong, we can stand and say, now I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, ready to do God's will. Now, the downside is if we don't get to know God, there are penalties. And I read this a few weeks ago, and it was talking about the talents, how God, Jesus was telling a story about the talents. One got one talent, one got two, another one got five. The one that got the one talent buried his and didn't use it. And at the end of the story, Jesus got that and He called him a wicked servant because he didn't use what God gave him to use. And He said, he will be cast out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. People, there is a responsibility for us to get to know God. There is a penalty if we don't get to know God. And I mean the benefits are huge. How to get to know God. The how to get to know God. I've got three little points here. The first one is draw near to God. And as I said there before, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Another verse says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. What happens? See, we have to, God has done everything. God is there with open arms. He's there with the door wide open. And He's saying to us, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. And I tell you what happens when God draws near to us, when we get a taste of God. In the book of Job, Job said this, and he'd been through a lot of trouble, and he said, this is in Job 42, 5 to 6, and I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So here Job, he went, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, But then there was a transfer, something, and I find the more we can hear from God, the more we read the scriptures, the more we get into God, and it may start off all in the head, but somewhere along the line, it will come into our heart. And that's what happened to him. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I was praying a few weeks ago in the middle of the night. And as I was praying, I was just walking and just God opened my eyes to behold more of him. And I tell you what, when I pray at home, I walk around the lounge room, down the hallway and to the front door. And when I got to the front door, and God just gave me a glimpse of who he is, a greater glimpse. I just put my head on the front door and I just said, God, who are you? And this is like Job. You know, I'd heard of thee by the hearing, but now mine eye seeth thee. I tell you what, when we get a revelation of who God really is, we will just drop on our knees and cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You know, I could walk around here tonight and impress you on how spiritual I am. If you want to really find out how spiritual I am, ask my wife. I could tell you how much I pray. I could tell you how much I read my Bible. Do you want to know how much I read my Bible? Can I brag just a little bit? This week I'll have finished the Bible through twice this year already. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? But I'll tell you what. The other night, when I got that glimpse of God's glory, it just humbled me. You can't impress God. When we have a glimpse of God, we're like, who am I? And I just had a taste of his authority and his power. And I just said, God, who are you? How great he is. And this is to get to know God, amen? When we get him, he will change our life. So the first thing is draw near to him. The second thing is begin to fear God. You know, another time I just felt God say to me, don't ever challenge my sovereignty. There's one thing. See, there is such a thing as a good fear and a bad fear. And God says for us to fear him. And where is the scripture here? It says in Matthew 10, 28 to 33, and do not fear those who will kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? See, here's the good thing. See, God wears two hats. You know, as a father with my children, I've got one of them here in the front row. You know, God is a loving father, but God is also a judge. He's a loving judge, a righteous judge, and he will switch hats. And that's why we need to fear him. And it's like my father. You know, I feared my father in a healthy way, that if I did the wrong thing, guess who was going to get a spanking? And we need to fear God like this. But it goes on, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. I missed a bit here, didn't I? Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Here's the loving part of God. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And so the first point was we need to know God. We need to draw near to God. The second point is we need to fear God. The Bible actually says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If we want to know God, we need to fear God. We need to fear God in the reverence way and know He has tremendous power and glory. The last point here is to worship Him. Jesus said, the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what? There's a principle in life. We become like what we worship. Now, young people, there's a lot of idols out in the world today. But be very careful who we look up to. Be very careful, like the Bible says, don't put any other idols before Him. And we've got to be careful that our heart is not worshiping these popular people that are out in the world. But we need to have a heart of worship to God. See, even tonight when they were singing and worshiping, who felt the presence of God? There is nothing like that would change our life and to get us to know God more than to worship Him. The Bible says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. And if you're in the meeting tonight and you say, hey, I really want to get to know God, I would say, be a worshiper. Worship God. In the morning when you get up, just begin to worship Him. Father, and I tell you what, you will become like who you worship and what you worship. Amen? And so this is important, young people. Worship the Lord. Be careful what music you're listening to or things you're doing, but have a heart of worship. And as we worship, we will be changed and we will be made like Him. We need to draw near to God. We need to fear God. And we need to worship God. And that's how we get to know what a great God He is. You know, the angels knew the principle. Revelations 4, 10 and 11 says this. The 24 elders fall down before Him. Now this is in heaven. Who is seated on the throne and worshipped Him. Who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are You, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by all things they existed and were created. Let us pray. Wonderful Father, wonderful Lord, hallelujah. Oh, to know You, Lord, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We know, Lord, when Jesus, when You said how to pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Then the next thing that He said, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And when we make You our Father, When we worship you, draw near to you and fear you, you come back to us and say, now my kingdom shall come to you. My kingdom shall touch your life and change your life. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Holy is your name. We see the angels bowing down before you, worshiping. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the heavens shake. And oh, we pray, God, that there shall come a hunger back in our soul to know God. That we would stop playing the fool, but we would begin to worship and to cry out unto you and say, God, you are my Father. You are my Father. You are my Father. Oh, God, we pray. We thank you. We thank you. Let's all just begin to thank God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, as I pray, there's so much of the time when I walk around and I just say, my Father, my Father. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. Let's all stand. Let's all begin to just call out to God, Father. Father, holy is your name. Mighty is your name. Powerful is your name. We bow before you. We honor you today. We say, thou art the creator of heaven and of earth. Thou art the creator of mankind. You are everything, Father. You are everything, Father. You are our Father. And as we honor you, we know, God, you shall bless us. You shall heal us. You shall prosper us. You will open the windows of heaven. You will change our life. Our life will never be the same again when we know you. When we give our life to you, we will be changed forever and ever and ever. We will never be the same. People will look at us and say, there's something different about you. And it's because we know the Father. We know the Father. We've given up everything in our life that we may know the Father. Oh, hallelujah. God, we pray. God, we pray. God, we pray. Turn your heart towards God tonight, people. You will never regret it. You will never be ashamed. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I just want to give an opportunity to those that you want to draw near to God, and in your heart tonight you're saying, hey, I want to know this God. I want to know this God because my life is heading in the wrong direction. And I want to know this God that He can come and change my life, change my marriage, change my business, change everything. I want to know this God. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you say, I want to turn to God tonight, I'm just going to ask, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, just to raise your hand to me and say, hey, I want you to pray for me tonight. Anybody at all tonight, just lift your hand up. Anyone tonight, just lift your hand and indicate. Hallelujah. Anyone? I see that hand down there. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just lift your hand and wave it to me. I just don't want to rush this. I give an opportunity. Just lift your hand and wave it to me, and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Praise your wonderful name. Hallelujah. 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 I'm just going to ask this young person to come out the front here. And you want to come out here and we'll pray for you? Is that you put your hand up, did you? Oh, you're right. I'll pray for you here. Wonderful Father. Lord, we just thank you for the hands that are raised. We know the greatest decision of our life is to say, God, remember me. God, I want to know you. I want to turn my life over to you. And I just thank you, Lord, tonight that I've made a decision that's going to change the rest of my life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a great hand.
We hoped you loved that message. If you want any more information about us, head to highway.com.au.